الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تداينتم بدين إلى أجل مسمى فاكتبوه وليكتب بينكم كاتب بالعدل ولا يأب كاتب أن يكتب كما علمه الله فليكتب وقال تعالى إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين أو كما قال صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected elders and brothers of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. It is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us and made us from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Majeed, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the believers and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us and given us a very, very high rank and status by making us from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But together with being from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes with the responsibilities also. Like we hear the saying, with tashrif comes taklif. That with honor, with recognition, and with status also comes the responsibilities that they attributed to it. Being from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أنتم تتمون سبعين أمة وأنتم خيرها وأكرمها وأفضلها على الله تعالى. That you are the final, you are the culmination of 70 nations that came before you. And you are the most blessed and the most noble and the greatest of nations in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last ummah to come upon the surface of this earth, but the first ummah to be entered into Jannah. Kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best of nations. Being selected from this best of nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to be from amongst this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very, very great responsibility also. With tashrif comes taklif. The responsibility of carrying out the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. We know one is we have to carry out the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our ibadat, in our acts of worship, in our faraid of deen, salah, zakat, hajj, etc. But together with that, every other aspect also of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring it about into our lifestyle. One very, very important aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring about in our life is how to conduct our daily business dealings. We find that in the hadith which I have recited, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised great rewards for that person who carries out his business dealings in the correct way, according to the sunnah, according to the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akrim says and mentions that At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'a an-nabiyyina was-siddiqina was-shuhada'i was-salihin. That businessman who is truthful and he is amanatdar, he is trustworthy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him on the day of Qiyamah with the Anbiya and with the martyrs, with the pious people. Such is the reward for conducting a person's business in the correct manner. We find that when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az was in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, and Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that his hands were bruised, there were marks on his hands were chuffed. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az that what is the matter? Why are your hands hurt like this? So Sa'ad bin Mu'az explained to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they know Nabi of Allah, I work to earn a livelihood. The entire day I toil in the fields and I pull the rope and I water the fields. And because of this, my hands have become with these marks on it. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquires that you did all this to earn halal. He says, yes, I earned halal in order to support my family. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the hands of Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu and kisses them. And thereafter, in the presence of the entire gathering of Sahaba, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the fire of Jahannam is haram upon these hands that have been hurt in acquiring halal sustenance for a person's family. Such is the reward of earning for a person's family. We find that there are many, many other rewards and other promises for a person to earn halal. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person earns halal, then he earns his salary. One is he earns his salary for working, for the days, his wages, etc. But together with that is a salary from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He earns, he spends his entire day working. And Nabi Akareem also mentions that Amsa Mahfuran Lahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives a person's minor sins for him having this intention to earn halal and support his family. But friends and elders, what is meant by earning halal? As I mentioned in the hadith, At-tajiru saduqul amin. That businessman, that trader who is truthful and his trustworthiness. These are the two qualities that need to be found in order to gain the reward and the promises that are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once, Hazrat Safwan radiallahu anhu comes to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he inquires from Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aykun al-mu'minu jabanan, the new Nabi of Allah, can a mu'min, he inquires, that can a mu'min be deceitful? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first inquires that can a mu'min be a miser? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, yes, a mu'min can be a miser. But although it is a very, very evil action, but a mu'min can be a miser also. But thereafter he inquires from Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayakun al-mu'min kathaban, that can a believer be a liar? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that no, a believer cannot be a liar. Meaning that in a person's daily life, in a person's business, he should refrain from speaking lies and from being treacherous. Nabi Akareem also mentioned the hadith, Man ghashana falisa minna, that the person who deceives us in his business, he is not from amongst us. We find in the hadith of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akareem also mentions that ayatul munafiqi thalath, idha haddatha kathaba, wa idha wa'ada akhlafa, wa idha tumina khana. That the sign of a hypocrite are three, that when he speaks, he speaks lies. When he promises, he goes against his promise. And when he's entrusted with something, then he betrays his trust. So we find that these are the severe warnings given. One is the reward of conducting business in the correct manner. And on the other hand, the severe warnings to refrain from speaking lies, from being dishonest and treachery in a person's business place. We find that there are many, many warnings in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to being deceitful with regards to betraying one's trust. In particular, when a person makes a promise in his business and to carry out that promise and he betrays it. In one hadith, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Salab ibn Aqwa radiallahu mentions that we were seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a janazah was brought in front of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired, Hal alayhi deynun? Is there any debt? Is this mayit owing any money? So the Sahaba, after inquiry, they replied, "No, Nabi of Allah, he is not owing any money." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs a janazah. Thereafter, another janazah was brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam again inquires that, is this person owing any money? The Sahaba replied, yes, he's owing some money. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam inquired, did he leave behind anything? The reply was given that yes, he has left behind, and the understanding was that he left behind sufficient money in order to pay off his debt. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes in front and performs the salat al-janazah of this person. Another janazah was brought in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam inquires that, does this person owe any money? Did he leave behind any debt? It was replied that, yes, O Nabi of Allah, this person has a debt upon him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam inquired, did he leave behind any money to pay off his debt? The answer was given that, O Nabi of Allah, he does not have sufficient money to pay off his debt. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam on that occasion steps back and tells the Sahaba, Sallu ala sahibikum, that, O my Sahaba, you perform the salat al janaza of your companion. Hazrat Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was present there, he says, O Nabi of Allah, his entire debt is upon me, and I will pay off whatever he is owing. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes forward and performs the janaza. On another occasion, a very similar thing occurred. And on that occasion, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, his entire debt is upon me. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes forward and performs the janaza. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, O Ali, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you from the fire of Jahannam, like how you have freed your fellow Muslim brother from the fire of Jahannam. Once one sahabi comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then, O Nabi of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قُدِلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صَابِرًا مُحْتَصِبًا مُقْبِلًا, then, O Nabi of Allah, inform me that if I become a shaheed in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just a shaheed, not just a martyr, but a martyr in such a condition that I have patience and I anticipate reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am killed advancing in the battlefield, not retreating, not running away. He mentions all this, showing his complete sincerity in fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah, would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all my sins? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your sins. The sahabi departs. After a while, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him back and says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your sins illa ad-dayn, except debt. Nabi Akram mentions in the hadith, يُغْفَرُ لِشَهِيدٍ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ, that all the gunas, all the sins of a martyr, of a shaheed, are forgiven except debt. In one hadith, Nabi Akram mentions, لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاشَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاشَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ مَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, that if a person were to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become shaheed one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him life. For the second time he goes in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he comes shaheed for the second time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him life. Third time he goes in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala gives him shahadat for three times. All this is happening whilst وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ, he has debt upon him. مَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, this person will not enter Jannah until his debt is fulfilled. Such is the warning, severe warnings, being deceitful, not paying off a person's debt, not carrying out the amanat and the responsibility that the person has upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you and commanded you that you carry out the trust. You take goods that I'm going to pay it upon a certain time, upon a certain stipulated date. It is a responsibility of that person now to carry out that task and pay it on that appointed day. We find there was an incident, Imam Bukhari mentions, a person from amongst the Bani Israel, he required some money, he needed a loan, so he found a person that was going to lend him the money, 1,000 gold coins. So he goes up to the person, now they are ready to do the deal. So this person inquires from him that, do you have any witness? So this person says, no, I do not have any witness. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient as a witness for me. So the person says, yes, But do you have any sort of guarantee? Any guarantor? So he says, no, I do not have any guarantor. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient as a guarantor for me. So, after listening to this person, he gives him the loan. This person takes the money and he goes away. And after a while, the agreed date came. Now it was difficult. This person needed to pay off the money. He acquired the money. But he lived on the other side of the river. So he goes to the shores, finding a way, looking for a way that how can I go back and pay this money that is due. There was no boat or any other form of vessel that he could use to go and pay off that other person. So he thinks to himself that I need to pay off this money, the date has arrived. So he does not know what to do. After a while he sees a log, like a bark of a tree. So he takes that and he places those coins inside it. And he puts a note and he puts it in the river. And thereafter he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I used your name as a witness, as a guarantor. And Allah, you are aware of my situation. I wish to pay off this debt. I was unable to pay it off, to the hand it to the person due to this reason. But my intention in my heart is to pay it off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the person was waiting on the other side of the river for this log to come. And he was waiting on the other side of the river for the money to come. And he's waiting. And at the end of the day, he sees that the money has not arrived. So he sees this log. And he thinks to himself that, let me take this log and go home. I perhaps might use it for some firewood, etc. So he takes it and he goes home and he finds those coins. In the meantime, this person that put the money in the bark, he again came up with the money and he decided, he was not sure whether the money reached that person. So he decides to go and pay him back. So he goes, the person tells him also that you're coming after a while. He apologizes, he explains to the situation, and thereafter he pays the money. So that person that receives the money, thereafter inquires from him, that tell me something, that on that day, did you place this money in this bark, etc.? So he says, yes. So he says, yes, I received the money, and he hands the money back to that person. The Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Hurairah mentions, the Sahaba were discussing among themselves, that who is the more amanatdar from the two? The person that received the money and was truthful about it, or the person who went to pay back the second time also, who was the more amanatdar from the two? Friends and elders, we find in the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that man akhadha amwal an-nasi yuridu adaha, that the person who takes the money of people, he borrows money or he takes goods, whatever the case may be, yuridu adaha, but his intention is that how must I pay off this debt of mine, this money that I'm owing, how do I pay it off? He has a clean intention in his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that he will be able to pay off the debt of his. But if he has this intention in his heart to destroy that wealth, to do the other person down, to take the other person for a ride, to make it difficult to pay it off, to make that person cry for his money. In one hadith, Nabi Akram s.a.w. mentions that matarul ghani zulmun, that the person who is owing somebody money and does not pay him on the stipulated time and date, he's an oppressor. He's oppressing that person by delaying him in paying it. So Nabi Akram also mentioned that person who takes money from someone, who is owing somebody money, and in his heart he does not have the intention to pay it back correctly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that it will be difficult for him to pay off that money. Such is the warning, severe warnings. There was a great tabi'i, Allama ibn Sirin, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, who lived in the time of Sahaba. He was a pious person. He used to conduct his majalis, his gatherings in the morning, and thereafter he used to go out and conduct business. Once he purchased a large consignment of oil, and the agreement was that he's going to pay it off on a certain date. So when this consignment arrives, he opens one barrel of oil, and he notices that inside this barrel, there is a dead rat. So he thinks to himself that this rat is najis, it's impure. Perhaps this entire consignment is also impure. And this rat could have died maybe in that place where the oil came from. So he does not know what to do, and he thinks to himself, if I'm going to return this consignment, then that person might sell it to somebody else and sell some impure goods to somebody else. So he thinks to himself, and thereafter he decided that he will dispose of it. And he disposed of the entire consignment. After a while passed, his due date came for him to make the payment. Now, it is obvious that he did not sell any goods, so he was unable to make the payment. He was, after all, a very, very pious person. So he goes up to the person that is owing the money, and this matter goes to the court, and the court rules that Allama ibn Sirin, due to him not being able to make the payment, he would have to be imprisoned. So he accepted the crime, he goes into jail, and he spends some time there. Whilst in jail, the prison warder realizes that this is no ordinary person. So he advises him and tells him also that I will allow you to go every evening to spend the time with your family, and in the morning you come back, so people will not know what is going on, and I know you're an honest person, I will allow you to do it. So Allama ibn Sirin mentions, no, I'm not owing you the money, or the state the money, I'm owing certain person the money, and I'm indebted towards him. As time passed, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away. And in his will he had written that my ghusl at my janazah must be performed by Allama ibn Sirin rahimahullah. So they go to the prison and they tell him that this companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away and he has made the request for you to perform his janazah. So he mentions that, and they told him, we took permission for you to come out of prison to perform it. So he asked them that, you all took permission. From who did you all take permission? They said, we took permission from the authorities. So he says, I'm not owing any authority money. I'm owing that certain person the money. Go and ask him if I can leave the prison just to go and perform the janazah. So permission was granted. He goes, he performs the janazah, and immediately he goes back into the prison without visiting any person, without speaking to anybody, or going to see any family members. Such importance he has placed in paying off his debt. After a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened a door for him and he was able to come out of prison. But friends and elders, we can see the importance of carrying out business in the correct manner. There are severe warnings regarding it. Together with that, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encourages us to be easy on that person who is going through difficulty. Nabi Kareem mentions that man anzara mu'asiran aw wada'a anhu azallahu Allahu tahta zilli arshihi yawma la zilla illa zillu. That person who gives respite, he gives time to a bankrupt person. And here in the hadith, it is referred to a true bankrupt person. Nowadays, we find many people, they declare themselves to be bankrupt, insolvent, they apply for business rescue. But whilst all this is happening, they're still living a lavish and comfortable life. Conveniently, the house is on somebody else's name, the vehicle is on somebody else's name, and they know the loopholes in the court of law, and they are ready to evade all forms of payment just because they know the loopholes. Now, we're not referring to that bankrupt person. We are referring to that true bankrupt person who has no money to pay off his debt. He's going through a difficulty. Perhaps his business dealings, some harm or calamity came upon him. And now he cannot pay off his debt. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that that person who gives respite, who gives time, who makes it easy for a bankrupt person to pay off his debt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this person with the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there is no shade except the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Friends and elders, we have run out of time, but the teaching this month of Rabiul Awal, one lesson we should bring about in our lives, that how we can bring our business in conformance with Sharia, in conformance with Islam and Deen, and in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to live within our means. Many a times we find that today, many a times a person goes into debt. Why? Because he wants to buy things that he does not need, with money that he does not have, to please people he does not like. Unfortunately, and he puts himself into difficulty to keep up with the Janes and the Jones of society. You find that the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the warning is very, very clear. Nabi Kareem sallam inquires from the Sahaba, "Atadruna mal muflis, O my Sahaba, do you know who is a bankrupt person?" The Sahaba replied, O Nabi of Allah, in our understanding, We know a bankrupt person to be that person who has no money, he has no wealth, he's going through a difficult time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that bankrupt person is that person who will come on the day of Qiyamah. He will come with a whole heap of a'mal, with a whole heap of good deeds. Salah, zakat, zikrullah, tilawat of the Quran, hajj, umrah, etc. He will come with all these good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. He will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst all this is happening, shatta mahada, he saw such and such person, akhada mala hada, he took the wealth of such a person, he harmed such a person, physically, verbally, he abused people. Now it is payback time. On the day of Qiyamah, payback time cannot be paid back like how the currency of the dunya. If a person is owing somebody in the world, he can pay it back with rands and dollars and cents and whatever the case may be. And it is easy to pay it back. He just has to put his hand in his pocket and pay the money. But in the akhirah, this is not so easy. The payment of the currency of the akhirat is not rand. That has no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The payment and the currency of akhirat is a person's amal and deeds. And that is one, subhanallah, will be more valuable than the entire world and whatever it contains. Now is the time to pay it back. And people will come and begin claiming from him and claiming from him. And he will have to start paying it back and paying it back and paying it back until such a time comes. He came with a whole heap of a'mal and deeds, but all his good deeds will become exhausted, and then a person will come once again and begin claiming from him. Now he has no a'mal and deeds to pay back. How does he pay this person back? The evil, the gunas and sins of that person will now take and place upon him, and because of which, because of the harm, because of usurping the rights of people in the dunya, he'll have to pay it back with his a'mal, because of which he'll end up with a whole heap of evil, of gunas, of sins. And may Allah protect us, may Allah save us, he'll be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us and save us from these difficulties and calamities. We are coming to this season now, which is the normal culture of spending. Let us keep the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of us and ensure that we spend our wealth correctly, earn our wealth correctly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those that are going through financial difficulties, make a way out for them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.